Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back.
Yeah, and so you're thinking, wow, it's been a long time since we've done a show, but you're wrong. You just can't hear it.
Well, okay, no, it has been a long time because it had been a long time, and then it was a long time, and then it wasn't a long time, and then we did a show, and then the show died,
yeah.
So now it really has been a long time.
We recorded a show a couple weeks ago, and it never made it. It disappeared. I don't even know what happened.
R.I.P.
I know, there's a lot of...
Like, I even... tweeted about it
on our
and I was like, hey,
hashtag
and then one person was all on Twitter, what happened? I was all nothing.
it's a long story, but new computer, new interface, new software, I don't even know.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of stuff. It didn't work out.
Yeah, here we are.
Happy New Year,
and hopefully the show will see the light of 2019.
Yeah, so it's like 10 p.m on New Year's Eve.
It is 10:10,
and my daughter's still awake downstairs
playing what is she playing? Candyland
and Chutes and Ladders.
And okay. First of all, she's playing Candyland and Chutes and Ladders with my husband, who apparently has never played a game with a 5.5-year-old before. And he's actually trying to argue with her about rules. And I'm like, dude.
He's like, regulation states.
He's like, this is not how you do it with a 5.5-year-old.
I'm going to call Mattel. 1-800.
Yeah. He's really trying to hold her to the quote-unquote rules.
Dude, she's five. She says it's on the line, it's on the line.
Yes, and she needs to spin again because she didn't like the first spin.
Come on.
Let her spin. Sorry about my
husband.
And
I'm so glad you're here. We've spent every New Year together except last year.
I know.
Because I went to my sister's wedding.
Yes, last year you did.
Last year.
Yeah.
But this year I'm sick. Before you got here, I had a fever. I took some ibuprofen.
But we're still here together.
Yeah. But I guess I want the world to know if I say anything tonight that's like kind of off, it's because I'm sick, okay?
And if I say anything that's kind of off, it's because I'm already on my fourth glass of wine.
You came from another party here. So.
I did. Well, this is my second party.
I'd say that that's fair.
Yeah. Okay.
You get to have that.
You guys have all been warned.
Yeah. And so today, because I was like, I wasn't feeling well earlier today. And I normally don't drink caffeine past like 9 or 10 a.m. because I'll stay up all night. My legs will like shake. I'll get the fits kind of.
At that hour?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Bad. So okay. I try to stay away from it. But tonight, I'm like, okay, I got to stay up. So I had caffeine at like noon.
Crazy times.
Like a coffee, too. Not even just iced tea. Like a full-on coffee. I know.
I had coffee at 3 o'clock.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
How do caffeine people like that do? Like people say, "Oh, I drink a cup of coffee when I need to go to bed sometimes." Like how in the world?
So I've actually read that sometimes having caffeine before you go to sleep. Well, so no, I haven't read it about going to bed, like if you're going to bed at night, but I've read that it's good to have caffeine before you take a nap
because you wake up energized.
Because you wake up energized. But I will say my caffeine consumption, like, I used to be able to drink coffee at, like, 9 o'clock at night and then just go to sleep. I know. Now, not so much, but I try to stop drinking caffeine after, like, 3 or 4. But not tonight, because tonight's New Year's Eve, and I was like, not only do I need caffeine, but I need a nap, because that's how old I am.
I know.
So
sorry.
I had to power up with a nap and caffeine tonight, because I am old.
Okay, it's so fine. Next year, is it gonna happen? Are we celebrating East Coast? Like what?
We might be celebrating Australia. Well, it's noon here.
I always make fun of the East Coast people, but
they got it good.
I think they're smart. I'm sorry.
Hey, it's New Year's Eve somewhere.
We're the morons.
We are.
Not that I thought that those people were morons. I guess I just said that then.
Yeah.
See, it's this fever. Do you see how pale I am?
Oh, it's just fourth glass of wine. But here we are. We are rolling out of 2018, thank God, and into 2019.
It's going to be our year.
I hope so.
And by our, I mean the nation.
Yes.
It's going to be our year,
like,
guys.
Like, Paloma and I are just being selfish about it being our year.
No.
Like,
it's going
to happen. We're not going to just hole up with, like, all of our Costco wine and our, you know, TV shows and, like, make you guys fend for yourselves.
No. I mean, this is really, this has been rock bottom, right? It can't get worse.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry.
Don't say jinx, knock on wood.
No, I am done falling into the pit. It cannot get worse. It's got to.
Okay.
All right. It's going to happen.
All right.
2019.
So before it happens, though, I think we need to sort of look back a little at the holiday season.
Oh.
Because the holiday, isn't my imagination, or the holidays, like, essentially lasted a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. It seems like Christmas came really fast, like that week.
It did. It was short. I think it was a shorter period between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year.
Next year, it's even shorter.
It is.
Yeah, because I work for the state and we like look at the holiday calendar as soon as we get it. We all get excited. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, it's at the very last weekend of Thanksgiving or November.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, so yeah. Because there was still a week of November this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for me, it felt like it came fast, and then the actual Christmas week was really long.
Forever. Like, I am at the part of the year where I'm like, I don't even know what day it is. It's Monday, right? We're on Monday.
Sure. It's New Year's Eve. To me, it means Saturday.
So.
But it's Monday.
It's Monday. A week ago, it was Christmas Eve. Yeah, I feel lost. Oh my God,
that was a week ago?
It was a week ago.
Oh.
How was your Christmas Eve? Well, I saw you. I saw you at the tail end of Christmas
Eve. Yeah, well, so you know, but the world doesn't know. So my mom had this bad knee, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to make this long, boring story, because it's actually not long and boring. The beginning sounds boring.
Okay.
But it ramps up, guys. Just wait. So my mom's knee hurt, right? She went in because she was going to have knee surgery. And they did an EKG to make sure she was okay for surgery. And they discovered that her arteries were 90 to 100% blocked. And so then it was... Anyway, point is, she ended up having open heart surgery. And it was a few days before Thanksgiving.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it just kind of made the holidays really weird. And my poor mom's been recovering. And it's
and you and like your sister have been taking care of her.
Well, she's living with my sister right now, which is... My sister is a saint. I don't even have words for that. Like, thank you, Renee.
Yeah, seriously.
So she's been taking care of my mom, and I don't know that I would love to be a fly on the wall in that house. I imagine it's interesting to hear all the interactions that happen.
But so you've had a stressful holiday season.
Yes, very, very stressful. Yeah. And so much so that on Thanksgiving, so my mom had just had her surgery, and my sister and I were really worried about her and upset, because my mom didn't come out of surgery very well. She was kind of a naughty patient for a little bit.
Really, Marcia.
And so Renee and I drank way too much at Thanksgiving, and Bobby and Chris took Rosalie back to the hotel room, and Renee and I just stayed after, and we kind of cried on the couch. But then all of a sudden it turned into this like dance party.
Wow.
Yeah, where Renee and I were like singing songs and dancing around, and my dad and stepmother decided to keep their living room as a dance floor.
Nice,
because it was so much fun.
See, out of that's crazy,
totally
thing.
Weird. Yeah. But anyway, my mom is doing great now, and I'm really happy. That was very, very scary.
So is your Thanksgiving then less stressful than your, or your Christmas less stressful than your Thanksgiving?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I feel really bad for my sister, because I know she's like working really hard and taking care of my mom. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of those things. But, you know, my mom's in good hands, and she's doing okay. That's that.
It still felt like it lasted a lifetime, though.
It did.
I was going to say, it's like, I saw you on Christmas Eve, and it was the third stop of our day. Like, for us, we went to Woodland to see Corey's grandmother and mom and his uncle and aunt on Christmas Eve. Then we went to El Dorado Hills, which is, like, an hour in the opposite direction of Woodland, to see my cousin, and like had this big family gathering, and then we drove back to Sacramento to see you guys at Renee's house, and everybody was so wiped out, including us.
Yeah.
Like, I think we got there and everybody was just all, hey.
Yeah.
It was a little, like, I think we were only there 45 minutes. We had like one drink and we're all, bye.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us.
That was the most mellow Christmas Eve I think there has been.
It was. Like, I felt like Corey and I were just like zombies at that point.
But it was like zombies that came to a zombie party.
Yeah. And had some zombie drinks and then went and zombied home. And yes. So, the holidays are essentially...
Well, I still have some residual issues. My child, I don't want to say she's spoiled, because that's not what I mean.
Okay.
She has a lot of toys.
Okay.
And she got a lot of toys at Christmas. And I even did this year, Bobby and I had this big talk. Okay, we're not going to do it like we normally do. Like, we're going to temper it this year. Uh-huh. And my mom did it. Like, and my and Bobby's stepmother, everyone's like, okay, we're not going to get her toys. We're going to get her these, like, thoughtful gifts. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom got her a swimsuit for swimming lessons. And then Bobby's stepmother got her this cooking box where you make things.
Uh-huh.
She's still like, I still don't have room for all her toys. I don't know how it happened. But anyway.
Well, she'll have enough time to sort of work her way through them before her birthday.
No, she's going to play with the same five.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I get rid of the one she doesn't play with, where is it?
Oh, I love that. Was my favorite thing that I never played
exactly.
With.
Exactly.
I think it's like, that's a thing.
What's your favorite Christmas memory?
What's my favorite?
As a kid, yeah.
God. Oh, you want... Okay, I don't know if this is my favorite Christmas memory. It's maybe my brother's favorite Christmas memory, even though they don't actually remember it.
Oh, okay.
So this says a lot. This is really not my favorite Christmas memory. And it's not really my brother's memory, but it's sort of a family story. So this tells you a lot about my mother. So when I was 6, apparently I went through a phase where I was maybe a little challenging.
That wasn't a phase, Rachel.
I think this was the year that I found like presents in my mom's closet and tried to very like, you know, unwrap them and see what they were. And then as a, you know, with my 6-year-old skill in craftsmanship, try to rewrap them so she couldn't tell.
Oh, God. Do you see I'm getting hives?
So, you know, I was 6. I still believed in Santa and we did stockings. And that was the year that Santa left me a lump of coal instead of toys.
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, as a 6-year-old, I was devastated. It, like, destroyed me. Think about that now. Think of that.
No. What's funny is I can't believe we've never had this discussion. Because I did this when I was 8. I opened all my presents and rewrapped them.
You waited until you were 8?
My mom was so pissed. And I remember she was so mad on Christmas morning. She was like... And then finally she's like, well, where's that dress? You tell me. You opened them.
Yeah, well, my mom let me have it. And so my brothers, who were not even alive then, like, that story
that's
is
the worst.
They just, like, every year they're like, oh, yeah, remember that time that mom left you a lump of coal? And I'm like, yes, and it still bothers me, okay?
How have we spent this many Christmases together? And this is the first time we've talked about that.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Oh, yeah.
So this year, I guess my one brother... I guess my niece Audrey has been challenging, and I can't remember, I didn't quite get the whole story. I don't think she got a lump of coal, but I think she got sort of threats of the lump of coal.
Oh, no.
But then my brother, who was her dad, who is also, he's always challenging, he got the lump of coal and a note from Santa to tell him to try harder this year.
Oh my God.
Which actually, that reminds me, I think this is maybe the same year I was 6 or 7, I went to go see Santa, and completely unrelated from my mom, like, I go, you know, so, you know, I stand in line with my mom, I get on Santa's lap. Santa has, like, he's got the white beard, but these, like, jet black eyebrows.
Oh, okay.
You know, so right away I'm like, huh, this is interesting. But I get on Santa's lap and he asks me, so have you been a good girl this year? And I said, well, I've tried. And Santa Aww. Looks at me and he goes, well, try harder.
Oh, God.
So that with the lump of coal.
Wow.
And you wonder why I turned out the way that I did.
Well, I don't think I actually ever saw a Santa.
Really?
Well, because I grew up in the mountains and I had hippie parents. And I don't think we did stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
But it was for the best, because really...
You did not miss out, because I got, like, drunk, grumpy, like, mall store Santa, who was... I was the kid who, like, broke him or something.
And he'd, like, just ferment his eyebrows that afternoon.
Yeah, he's just like, try harder. And I still remember just sort of, like, stumbling off his lap, like, what just happened there?
Well, speaking of trying harder...
Okay.
What? So some news came out today about Elizabeth Warren.
Oh.
And here's the thing. I would like to preface this with, I love Elizabeth Warren, but she needs to stay where she's at.
Here's my thought. I am fine.
Oh, Elizabeth Warren announced that she's running in 2020.
Yeah. So for those of you who, that's fine. I'm fine with Elizabeth Warren. And I'm fine with her running for president. However, it's December 31st. And I'm like, why could she not wait until January 2nd and just give us like another 48 hours of a semblance of... I mean, if I'm being honest, we've been in this election cycle since November 10th.
Yes.
2016.
To be fair.
But I'm like, can we just pretend and just hold off until 2019? Because it's just pretty much, it's just going to be even more of a shit show. You thought the last election was bad. I cannot even fathom how we're going to make it through because no candidate's going to be good enough. No. And you said something earlier.
Okay, I did. Well, I want you to observe that the hives move from this side of my face to this side of my face as soon as we start talking about this. So
your presidential hives.
these things. I don't think, in my opinion, because I love Elizabeth Warren. I loved Bernie Sanders a lot. I don't think anybody who ran in the last presidential election should be running again. That includes you, Donald.
Oh, God, no. No, and but, okay.
I mean, you had your chance. You done fucked it up. And this is where we're at.
So here's the thing. But Elizabeth Warren didn't run, though.
Okay, you got me there.
But I will say this. I agree. I don't want to resurrect arguments of old.
Okay.
For people who have stuck with this podcast during its troublesome months.
The many arguments.
During the election. It's quite possible that I like Bernie Sanders even less than I did back in 2016. That said, I don't want him to run. I don't want Hillary Clinton to run. I don't want Joe Biden to run. Here's the thing. Whoever's on the ballot in 2020.
I'm voting for them.
I'm voting for that person. As long as they basically have a heartbeat and don't have a serious criminal record.
Yes. I was hoping Beto would run, and I don't even know how much I feel about that. I don't know where I even feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, I like Beto. I like Kamala Harris. I like Stacey. What's her name? Stacey Roberts? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Georgia candidate.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of fresh sort of energy that would be good.
Yeah.
And I know that each potential candidate has his or her drawbacks.
I know. I'm super nervous that Hillary's going to run, though.
I'm super nervous that Bernie's going to run. Let's not argue about it. He's not.
There's no way. Mm-hmm. There's no way.
Okay.
There's no way.
Okay. I hope that we don't have to have Can This Friendship Be Saved Part 3.
Oh, no, because here's the thing. If he does run again, it's a different story this time.
There's... Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't want Hillary to run. Like,
no,
they
both need to sit down.
I think they need to be quiet, sit down, and you had your chance, and the Russians screwed up your chance.
Yeah.
And
well, here's, to be honest, my stepmother, she said it best. They need to stay where they're at and do the good work there.
That's
where they're needed.
I agree. They need to be sort of the elder statesmen of the party and kind of...
And none of those seats can open.
Use those leader... None of the what?
None of those seats can open. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Use their leadership in other ways, right? And we need somebody... And I just... My fear is, I don't know... If the election truly was determined in part by interference, I'm like, I don't know what the remedy for that is.
Ugh, I don't either.
So I'm so nervous. And we have 2 years.
I think I'm getting hives in new spots right now.
Political hives. This is why Elizabeth Warren should have at least waited until Wednesday to announce her
candidacy.
I didn't
even want to have this conversation.
Like, I don't want to be stressed out on New Year's Eve because you couldn't like slow your roll.
And I'm too sick to drink that much. Thanks, Elizabeth.
I'll drink for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
And by the way, if I've said anything that offended you so far, it's the fever, okay? This mean old fever.
Yeah.
The dirty. Let's do boring corner.
Oh, you want to? Okay.
That's safe, right?
Okay, I think so. Is it safe? Is it safe?
I don't know. Well, so I would like to say that tonight. Well, actually, okay. I'm going to tell you what a cheap bastard I am, right? So Bobby and I, we wanted to get champagne for tonight because I think we get champagne every year.
You do, yeah.
And Bobby said he found the champagne that we really like at Costco. He's like, yeah, it's $40. And so we got there and I started to get that feeling like while we were there, I'm like, I don't want to spend $40 on this. Like, because I know that around the corner there's this Kirkland champagne that's $20.
Girl, you know our friendship is on perfectly safe $20 Kirkland champagne ground.
Like, I'm telling you, so the Kirkland champagne, it's from France.
Our friendship is solidly $20 Kirkland champagne. Like, that is, we are comfortable sweatpants friends.
Okay, good. Thank okay? you.
We are good.
I mean, I knew you'd be okay yeah, with it.
You do not. You could have gone to like Walgreens.
Well, no, at Walgreens you'd pay a lot more, and because they don't have a Walgreens brand champagne.
Oh,
I know. They have too like much.
The what's the cold duck or what? Oh
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, cold duck. I probably still love you.
No. I'll spring for the $20.
Thank you. That's actually brand. True friendship. Okay, so we're gonna be drinking Kirkland champagne tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Okay.
At midnight. God, I hope my daughter goes to bed before then.
Mm. We'll see. Sometimes she might outlast all of us.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm actually kind of nervous. I don't want to be like that bad parent. I was thinking
it's New Year's Eve. Come on. If and you I can't say, be a bad parent on New Year's Eve, when can you be a bad parent?
Well, let me tell you. I've been working on it.
It's fine. It says the person who doesn't have children. So.
So I heard you got some new blinds.
I did. Speaking of boring corner.
Yeah.
So we got new blinds. I'm really excited about that. So we moved into our house 3.5 years ago, and we got blinds. The previous homeowners took all the window coverings except for these blinds that were in the dining room on the door that leads out to the patio, and the blinds that were in the laundry room. So no window coverings in like the bedroom, the living room.
Why did they leave the other ones?
I don't know why they took everything. So for as a temporary fix, we got these paper blinds that you can get at Home Depot.
And I remember that.
Yes. Yeah, so we had those for a couple of months in the living room and got those finally replaced like within 6 months after we moved in. And then for the last 3 years, we've been talking about buying blinds for the bedroom. Took us 3.5 years.
You've had the paper blinds in there the whole time?
The whole time. But so, you know, every year we have a holiday party. And yes. I was like, this is the year. This year, even though people don't necessarily go into our bedroom during the holiday party.
Rosalie and I did.
You did. I was like, this is the year that we are actually going to replace the blinds in the bedroom. So we finally got rid of the janky paper blinds.
Let me ask you this, because we redid our blinds like when Rosalie was born, because we did cordless blinds. Uh-huh. So you just push them
right
up. Is that what you got?
No, we got I guess regular blinds with the cord.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're similar to what we have in the living room. It totally changes like the look of the room, though. I didn't even think it would make that much of a difference, but it's like, oh, actually, it's like an adult room now.
Yeah,
like we're grownups.
Well, so when Bobby first moved in, he found these window coverings at like, I don't know, Ross or Marshall's or something, and they were fine. I think they're like Roman blinds.
Oh yeah,
or something. And as soon as we put in the wood slat blinds, it was like
such
a
difference.
We look awesome.
It makes such a difference, because I feel like all the previous places that Corey and I've lived together, we've had sort of the cheaper vinyl blinds that you buy at Target or someplace. Mm-hmm. And they've been fine. But it's like suddenly we have blinds that are, they're wood, they're warmer.
The next person that buys your house is going to have those blinds.
Unless I take them with me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
I don't know
why they took them with them.
I don't either.
So now
that's
here's
weird.
The thing. I don't know why they took them with them, because the people who owned our house moved to Spain. And I'm like, why would you take down all the window
Maybe
coverings?
Gave them to someone. Sorry, I just thought that was really weird. Sorry.
It's weird. It's just weird. Because
well, it's weird that I thought that they gave it to some.
I mean, it's like, obviously I'm going to leave the window coverings because they're not going to fit.
Well, that's my whole thing. Like, we have a lot of special size.
Same. Like, our windows, like, a lot of them are the same size, but a couple of them are, like, kind of these weird, kind of unique dimensions. And it's like, I guess, first of all, it's like, I assume that whatever house, if we ever move again, we're not going to have the same needs.
Yeah.
Just bizarre. Just bizarre.
You know what? I'm a little bitter about something. We've done this podcast, and I talked about the Target sheets a lot of times. So much so that people in my family have purchased the Target sheets.
Okay.
The performance sheets.
Love the sheets.
Target needs to kick down and give us sponsorship.
Sponsorship, because those are some good sheets. I do remember. I remember the podcast where we discussed our. I think it was maybe our first Boring Corner.
Oh well, look at us now. Yeah. So my little brother tonight is his birthday.
Happy birthday, Dylan!
Happy birthday, Dylan! He's turning 26, and his birthday present was the performance sheets from Target.
Nice.
And I'm like, look, I made this happen.
Yeah.
Somebody tell Target.
We need to have our own Target commercial.
We do.
Yeah.
Hey, I meant to ask, so you were mentioning your holiday party. Mm-hmm. What happened at your holiday party? Is there anything you want to talk about?
Well, okay. Actually, there's a couple things I want to talk
about. Oh, no. Okay. I'm only prepped for one.
Because I was going to only talk about one thing, and then I just now realized if I only talked about that one thing, it's not fair and indicative of the entire party. So Corey and I decided after this party that most of our friends are slobs, and I say that in the best way possible, and I say that meaning myself.
No, when people go to parties, they eat like Cookie Monster. Oh, it's my god, proven fact.
It's the first year though, and I'm gonna say that it started with me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my friend Sarah, you know, I think you've known Sarah. Mm-hmm. And Rob.
I like Sarah.
Yeah. So Sarah and Rob come in, and Sarah, like, we're walking into the house, and she has a plate of cookies, and I walk into, we had like all the sweets in the office, and I walk into the office and I tripped, and all the cookies just went flying all over the office. Oh, no. I felt horrible. Like, I was just like, oh my god. And then for a second I was all 5 second rule. Like, no. And she's just looking at me, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. So cut to like maybe a half an hour later, I finally go, like, our party is a potluck, and so people bring this amazing food. So I finally go and I grab a plate, and I fill up my plate with food, and I turn around, and just as I turn around, somebody behind me is gesturing wildly in the middle of a conversation, and his arm just like hits my plate, and the plate goes flying onto Sarah.
Oh, poor Sarah!
And luckily, I did not have anything on the plate that like really spilled on her, and we were able to clean everything up, and the guy who like knocked into me felt awful, and I was like, no, I'm like, hey, I started it tonight. I'm like, it's not a party until you had at least one party foul, and now we've had two. So we cleaned that up, and so that was like, it's like, well, then later I found out that Rochelle like spilled her wine. I don't think she'll mind me telling this, like somehow like spilled her red wine in our white laundry room. And she kind of freaked out about it, but luckily like everything there is like either tile or you know, just the wall, but she said it looked like basically a murder scene.
So they, poor Rochelle. I know she felt bad about that,
and
too.
She felt bad, but I was like, Corey and I were both like, we didn't even see it. Like, when we were cleaning up, we didn't even notice, you know. And I'm like, it's the laundry room, it's all like tile and it's ceramic. Okay. It's like not a big deal at all. But later that night when we were cleaning up, I swear to God. So first Corey found somebody had like spilled, I didn't even see this was here. Somebody brought beet hummus. So it's red. So beets are just notoriously
that.
Somebody spilled, and whoever you are, I still love you, because I invited you to my party, so obviously you're my friend.
No, I'm not whoever made the beet hummus.
No. Somebody had beet hummus, spilled it on our brand new rug, and then I don't think cleaned it up. So
so it just sat there?
It just sat there.
It didn't even matter. Actually, there's no 10-second rule with beets.
No, beets are, once they hit a surface, you are doomed. Toast. I think we managed to get like 99% of it up. So it's just something that Corey and I see now. Okay. Like, it's just like the faintest, slight, the rug is like an olive green-ish. So it's very faint. But that night, as we were cleaning up, the beet hummus was sort of the tip of the iceberg. I swear to God, I found spinach dip in places that I did not know spinach dip could be put.
Okay,
like, I'm serious, like, there was spinach dip in weird corners of my house.
I have two to three things to say.
Okay.
Thing one is the most important. I don't eat hummus in strange places. Not that your home is a strange place. However, I only eat hummus at home.
Okay.
Or if I order it I don't know.
But even if it's like bland beige hummus?
No, Sabra, you know, they had this listeria scare.
Oh, there was that. I did stop eating hummus for a while because of that.
I can only make it myself now. I'm terrified to eat strange hummus. Okay,
fair enough.
Okay, so that's one. The two to three. So two is anytime, because Bobby and I used to have a lot of parties.
Yeah.
Pre-Rosalie, we were party animals. The next day we'd be like, who are these animals that come to our home? it's shit everywhere. And you're like, what were they even doing? Did they crunch these chips up with their, like, boots or what? Yeah,
and then grind it and then rub it in.
But my favorite thing was one time my sister and Chris, they came over to babysit Rosalie and I left them popcorn. Oh. And then, you know, we have darker floors and we got home and they left. I looked around, I was like, what? Was it just Cookie Monster, like, throwing popcorn into the air? And so Bobby and I were laughing about it for a long time. But then there was a time where he and I had popcorn in our house and we're like, oh my God, we're Cookie Monster. It's okay.
Okay, so I know we're running out of time, but I need to share a story with you. It's not my story, but I know you're not really on Twitter, but I feel like this is I feel like this is a really important story. So there was a story recently on Twitter this week about a guy who ordered a batch of live crickets on the internet.
Blech.
Right. And I think to feed his lizard.
Oh my.
And
Rachel, I don't need new hives.
Sorry. So listeners, if you've already heard this cricket story, sorry, but I feel like Paloma needs to hear it. Yeah. And there's a moral to the story.
Okay, so I saw the headline, but I didn't even see, I just saw crickets, and I was like, ooh, none of my
business. The guy orders, like, a batch of 250 crickets. They're delivered by FedEx. He opens the package thinking that the crickets are going to be contained in some sort of bag.
Oh, stop.
But they're not.
Do you see? Look at my arm. I have chills running up and down my arm.
He's like, oh, shit, the crickets are actually, like, so he tries to close the package back up. And he puts the package, I think, in the bathroom or something like that. I'm probably getting this wrong. But he tries to put the package, he tries to be 6-year old Rachel and rewrap the Christmas present. He puts the package away, he goes into his own office and starts working, and then suddenly, like, maybe an hour, half hour later, starts hearing, like, shrieks from the kitchen, and his wife is like,
and, like, my God.
Long story short, like half the crickets have gotten out.
Oh my god.
They just keep coming out and they just keep coming out, but the wife doesn't know where they're coming from, and the husband realizes it, so he runs to where the package is and he's like, nothing, dear, don't worry about it, I've got it. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, all those crickets, but hold on, I'm gonna be in the bathroom. And he's trying to shove crickets back into
my god.
So the moral, so then somebody who I follow on Twitter retweeted this story and basically said In the world that we live in, there's two types of people: the people who release crickets and the people who try to contain them. Look in the mirror and answer which one. Oh. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a cricket releaser.
Oh, I'm a container.
I'm a releaser.
Why would you just put a box of crickets in the bathroom and leave? Who does that?
Because what
Rachel?
Else do you do?
You fix it.
Because you're all, nothing, everything's fine.
You okay. A couple, oh my God, I'm not going to say this. This is a fever talking. You either light that box on fire.
Well, I would probably do that.
In the driveway.
Even as the cricket releaser, I would do that. I would just be like, nothing to see here. Burn it all down. Yeah. Move along.
I mean, maybe that's because I'm not the biggest fan of crickets. I would go the driveway. Bye, well, crickets.
The guy's tweet thread ended with, I'm tweeting this entire story so that if I end up dead in the morning, you know it's because I was murdered by my wife who found a cricket in our bed.
And, you know,
and
I would,
enough.
That judge would be insane to have to say absolutely. that was not justified.
All right. Whew, on that note, I think that's
Did
why
my
we're
fever
friends.
Say anything terrible?
We'll find out.
Okay. Well, I hope my mom knows I love her. And I was worried about her.
I hope my friends know I love them.
Oh, I know you love me.
I love you.
Oh, I hope you know I love you.
You know you love me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope my sister knows how much I appreciate her.
Renee, we appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, you too. Were you scared I was going to make my mom stay with you? You're going to have to care for her.
We're pretty close.
Mom, you're shacking up with Rachel and Corey now. Yeah. They've got a room where you can spill cookies all you want.
We're pushing in the beet hummus room.
Oh, wait. Okay. Next show, we're talking about beet hummus. That's a problem.
We're just going to talk about that in general.
Because I really don't like beets.
I do like beets, and I do like beet hummus. However, I purposely did not bring beet hummus to my own party.
You knew beet hummus was a thing before now?
Yeah. It's quite good.
Do I never go anywhere or something?
It's quite good. However,
if you like beets, right?
I'm not going to... Well, yeah, you have to like beets. And second of all, you're not going to serve that at a party.
No.
I mean, red wine is asking for...
Yeah.
I probably should only serve white wine at my party.
That's what I'm going to do.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
It's okay. Yeah, everything is fine. That's my motto for 2018. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. It's fine.
2019. It's our year, Rachel.
All right, it is. Here's
it's that. Our year, America.
Hopefully this podcast will see the light of 2019.
It better.
Damn, it better.
If this is another last episode, I'm gonna regret all the things I didn't say.
Right? Oh, it could have been so therapeutic.
Oh, it could have been that could have been like the ultimate dumpster fire. All right. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Let's see. End credits.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good Girls Don't Don't was brought to you by the passage of time and some new software.
Good one.
It was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock.
Yeah.
Engineered by Bobby Jordan and Paloma Jordan.
Did a couple of things. Bobby really worked hard tonight.
He did. Thank you, Bobby. Babysitting and chauffeuring on New Year's Eve duties.
Hasbro.
And game duties provided by Corey Vick, who still needs to learn how to play a game with a 5.5-year-old.
Come on.
Love you, but... And New Year's Eve festivities brought to you by Kirkland Champagne and those cauliflower tots that you made.
God, they're so gross.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Happy New Year.